All right, my throat is sufficiently lubricated.
We've qualified for the World Cup. Go and compete.
Hello, and welcome to the 20th edition of the Put Them Under Pressure podcast. My name is Kieran, and I'm joined by Adrian, and a very big welcome back to Flynn. Flynn, how are you doing?
Great. Thanks for having me back. A long time, right? In the wilderness there, yeah.
How long has it been now? A month?
Yeah, about that.
Jeez. All right, well, look, good to have you back. For you, anyone that didn't catch our last podcast, number 19, the Santi Cazorla episode, we would have spoke to Dave live from Toronto. Check it out on Facebook and YouTube. We've got over 100 views, which is, you know, a milestone for us now. So, you know, happy days. We got some criticism on a few things that Dave said. a few things is probably a light way of putting it. One was, I guess, to pass over to you, Hanley, was regarding Jorginho and being the best central defensive midfielder.
Yeah, Dave, like when Dave is on, you know, we have a good time, and he talks a lot, which is great for us. But he talks so much, it's kind of hard sometimes to pick up what he's saying. And he casually dropped in that Jorginho was one of the best defensive midfielders of the last decade. If we were on the ball, we probably would have caught him on that and said that that's absolute nonsense. So I've a couple of people said to me that they just tuned out after that. So we don't endorse that that opinion. That is a Dave opinion and not a podcast opinion.
Jorginho isn't even the best defensive midfielder at Chelsea right now.
No. I mean, has he ever done anything other than do a skip when he takes penalties?
No.
Not really.
Nope. Yeah, I mean, look, I think he's bang average.
Highlight of his career was being linked with Arsenal this summer.
What, is he Italian?
He plays for Italy, but I think he's Brazilian. He could have played for Brazil or Italy or Argentina, I think.
Yeah, I don't know what he does, to be honest. I know he made a ton of passes one game, but I mean, it's not hard to pass the ball 5 yards, really, is it? I could have done that.
He's amazingly slow for a professional athlete, for a professional footballer in the Premier League. Like, I don't think I've ever seen anyone slower. Like running, when he's full pelt running, it's like a normal player walking speed.
He also looks like he thinks he's the shit. I'd say he thinks women like fall all over him. Just the beard, you know. There's something about that beard. It's kind of scummy. Let's just say he's a scumbag. Let's just do that.
Yeah, I mean that's a fair settled point. It was Napoli, wasn't it, where he got like where he was before Chelsea? Is that right?
Yeah, with Sarri. That's why Sarri wanted him so much.
Yeah, that team, that whole Napoli team, like in hindsight, was a bit, you know, a bit overhyped, you know.
Sarri was a bit overhyped.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that went well for Jorginho and Sarri, but here we are. So, yeah, thanks, Dave. It was great having you on, but according to our fan base,
Dave's gone
again.
Yeah, 2 seconds and just slating him straight away.
What did he say? He's a was it a die soft? No, a die soft United fan.
Die easy
United fan. My God, he should have seen him fucking bigging it up there when United drew against Chelsea.
Well, I mean, you know, he's kind of got a point about being a die easy fan. I mean, why would you be a die hard fan for a team in another country who you have no connection to other than seeing him on the telly when you were like 8 years old?
Yeah, but I mean, are any of us, well, I mean, maybe Kieran is a diehard Palace fan, but I mean, you and me are diehard Liverpool fans. I'm certainly not going to get a picture of Klopp tattooed on my heart or something, you know?
Well, my one of Roy Hodgson isn't planned either.
Careful.
Sorry, Dave. I mean, Jesus, we're only a few minutes in and you're getting the brunt of a stick from us, but look, it's probably deserved.
He's wrong about Martial as well.
But about being bad.
Yeah.
I don't know, I can kind of see his point there. I don't know what Martial really brings to football in general.
Oh,
He's not the best United player, though. You said that. You said Martial was the best United player. I don't
so who do you think
that.
It is?
I would say Rashford, probably. Yeah.
Jesus.
Or Fernandes, but I think Fernandes is a bit shit at the minute. But I think overall Rashford. You don't think so?
No.
Right. I think Rashford gets it by default now after all of the work he's done with the free meals for kids in the UK, right? He's on his way to sainthood.
Yeah, but he's failed at that as well, hasn't he? Am I right in saying that?
What? Does he march out on free dinners for kids?
Well, would I get applauded if I said I think every school child should get free dinners and then nothing happened? Would that make me a saint?
Well, he did look. Loads of
well, you know, a lot of people like Karl Marx. That never worked out yet, but...
Yeah.
I don't know who that is.
You don't know who Karl Marx is, for fuck's sake, Adrian.
No, sounds like a poet. Is it a poet?
Close.
if it was someone else, I'd be like, yeah, grand, but...
Listen, I'm a highly educated man. I don't need to know everything, all right?
We're bollocks.
I am bollocks!
Who's Karl Marx? Is he a poet?
I don't think
sounds like the Stockport goalkeeper.
Yeah, Karl Marx. He had 25 appearances for Stockport in the 1856 season.
Well, look anywhere else.
The FA Cup finalist.
My point is, I can write a letter now to the government saying I think you should cure homelessness. And, that doesn't make me, I wouldn't get a fucking knighthood or an MBE or whatever you got.
You didn't get a knighthood for it.
I said MBE, I said it. Cut the knighthood bit.
No.
I think we should drop this after Karl Marx has been compared to a Stockport.
Well, let's just make the title of this, Who's Karl Marx?
Jesus. Gonna get a load of tankies kind of chasing us down. I'm fan of like segues between different sections of the podcast. I don't really know how to go.
What were we doing there? We were slating Dave.
Yeah, let's get back to it.
And then talking Martial, and that was it.
Okay, so speaking of like shit opinions, right? The reoccurring topic of VAR has cropped up again over the past 2 weeks. I mean, Jesus, there's been so much over the past fortnight. We nearly need to be recording daily at this point with the amount of stuff that's happening. But I guess we can chat about VAR again. We'll go back.
Anyone see that goal that Arsenal had ruled out last night?
No. Which one was this now? Lacazette?
Lacazette.
And he was onside.
It was ruled out for obstructing the keeper, I believe, even though he was not. Look, you didn't see it, so let's not talk about it.
I remember it now. I do remember it. But and then there was a player in between the keeper and Lacazette, and then Aubameyang made a gesture towards tapping it in too, right?
Yeah, well, it was in from a corner. They headered it in, but it was tapped in then at the near post, far post. But they ruled it out because someone was impeding the referee, apparently, even though on the replays on VAR, it showed he wasn't impeding the referee and that he wasn't even in the eye line of the referee. I mean, of the goalkeeper, Jesus, sorry. Impeding the referee. Yeah, anyway.
I just saw it. It's, I mean, so what you're saying is VAR should have looked at it and said the goal should have stood, is it?
VAR looked at it and said it shouldn't stand.
Oh, so they backed up the linesman because the linesman put his flag up.
But I think the linesman put his flag up for offside, but it was in the end they decided it was because they were impeding the goalkeeper.
Okay, right. Yeah, I get you. Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with that goal. That's another one. God, it seems like it's every game now there's a VAR mistake.
That's the thing, is that how many times do we have these discussions on nearly every game where it's, well, it looks as if it was a fine goal, the AR didn't overrule it, and the linesman and the referee said something different. It's like three opinions for every decision now, and it just gets more and more confusing and more frustrating as a fan because I don't know whether to celebrate anymore or whether to just wait 5 minutes and check the score.
And they kind of have to back each other up. Like, when they can't like embarrass one or the other. Like they can't say like the referee got this really badly wrong or something, or he made a stupid decision, stupid call there. They just have to warp reality and pretend like, oh, that wasn't a foul or that wasn't a red or whatever. And this is the whole purpose of VAR, was so that you could look at these decisions and say, well, now that we've seen this in replays and we can pause it and look at it from all these different angles, we can see this is the right decision. But because they don't want to make the referees look like fools, they end up saying, making up fairy tales, like complete nonsense. That Pickford thing, did you talk? No, you couldn't have talked about Pickford yet.
No, not yet.
Okay, I mean, Adrian can talk about the Pickford thing if he wants.
I mean, I'm sure everyone's seen it. I'm not going to describe what happened, but we're talking about the Pickford injuring Van Dijk situation. What I would say is people are going a bit far with it, saying that they'll fucking do him in on the street and stuff. I mean, that's a bit much. But, like, I do understand how he didn't get a red card. I can understand the logic, but it's wrong. Now, my understanding is that, like, I was kind of making the point, like, what if Pickford had punched him in the face after the offside was given or whatever? You know, would he have been sent off then? Apparently there is difference between violent conduct and what's it called, like dangerous play or something, that those are two different things. So it wasn't violent conduct. It was just careless, dangerous play with his tackle. I still think VAR should have been sending him off because it's a crazy tackle. Like he made no attempt to play the ball from what I can see. He just jumped on his leg. Would it have changed much? Probably not. Well, probably, what? Yeah.
Yes, of course it would have.
Sorry, I was just thinking that it was like the fifth minute and there would have been a man down. Of course, yeah, it would have changed things. I was more upset about the offside given against Mane, to be honest, because I understand that the foul happens after the offside is given. So whatever fucking Egypt is in VAR goes, well, it's offside, so it can't be a foul thereafter. Obviously, that's incorrect, but I understand it. The offside against Mane, I don't see. Like, that's just someone looking and going, well, he looks offside, but no one else in the world thinks he looks offside. So you have to wonder what the fuck the referees are doing.
I hate those the most, because do you ever notice how the VAR are looking at it in like 4K, like the highest definition available, and we're looking at it on like mobile screens, and it just feels like it's the lines are just very, like, they're like 2 inches thick, the lines. Yeah. And they don't line up with the player. They don't line up with the part of the player that's offside. They're the worst part for me. When you see that red and blue line together, I'm just like, you know what, forget it. This isn't...
Like, whatever happened to being level, is that gone? Does that not exist anymore, that you're in line with the defense? Do you know?
I think they made the lines thicker, though, now, because people were complaining about the really tiny lines, like being off by a centimeter or two. So they made the lines thicker so that you couldn't even tell the centimeters apart. Like, it would have to be a bit more blatant.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the idea, I think.
Yeah, no, it was. And I agree. And I think at some point, I think once they refine it enough, they'll get it right. But sure, they haven't really changed anything from last year, other than is it just something to do with the handball and attacking play continues, and then the linesman puts his flag up.
Should they drop that handball stuff after a week then? Like, because there was like 5 penalties in like 3 games or some shit in first week, and they dropped that whole handball thing.
I don't even know what it is anymore, to be honest.
Well, they were just given handballs like for any contact with the hand at all in the first couple of weeks.
Yeah, they were actually. Yeah, that was funny.
It's like, it's been extremely frustrating. I agree. I think the Mane offside was more infuriating than the fact that Pickford wasn't penalised in the Merseyside derby for that tackle. Just because of how, I don't know, I get it. You can put a line down and it is millimetres out, but like, there's nothing, no angle I saw where, like, with the naked eye, Mane was offside. Yeah.
And even like Flynn was saying earlier, like referees backing each other up. That's why the fucking monitor is there. Like, if he had just gone to the monitor for both of those, whoever the ref was, I can't remember, he would have probably gotten them right himself without having to ask his buddy,
But that's wrong, though, isn't it? That's wrong, the fact that they're obviously in support of each other and it's like referees standing together. It's like, no, the whole point of VAR is so that the human error can be overruled or common sense can be applied rather than a computer screen.
It is, but how do you eradicate that then? You know, you can't just say to them, stop doing that. You know, that won't work. Like
discipline and punishment. Punish the referees, like just fine them.
Fine them for getting it wrong then, though. Like
yeah, it's a messy one.
It's like fining a player for missing an open goal or something, like, you know.
Which I do frequently on Football Manager.
Yeah, maybe that's a good idea.
I will say something as well, though, right? I think it's a bit ludicrous. Isn't it amazing how we saw the first ever player get injured in the history of football when Van Dijk went off? I can't believe it. We've never seen anyone ever get injured before. You have people playing in France, taking their shirt off and giving good luck messages to him. I just thought it was just fucking pathetic, really.
That's
true. I get it.
Yeah.
Massive, massive loss, but like, he's not dead.
Yeah. Good point. I don't know how to back that up. Because I was going to say, you know, he is like a global football superstar at this stage. But yeah, even if Messi got injured, I don't see like Aguero whipping his top off to say good luck.
Yeah. Well, do you remember when Neymar got injured in the World Cup? 2014, was it? And sure, they went ballistic. The fella who injured him got all kinds of like death threats or whatever. And then the Brazilian team was like holding his jersey in his place, like his vacant place. I think the match against Germany where they got beaten, yeah, you know, 7-1. Yeah,
you can plug the podcast there. We did a podcast on that.
Yes,
we did. Yes. And Dave. Yeah.
Can't remember
back when they had great opinions.
Talk about the Godfather.
Jesus.
Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, so instant karma there with the Neymar shirt and stuff. But I don't know. I just think it's a bit weird. I mean, it's sad.
Wait, what's instant karma about that?
As in they got hammered then, didn't they? Brazil got hammered.
Yeah, but they. What about that made them deserve to get hammered?
It's just stupid.
Yeah, they were a bit over the top with the Neymar stuff, weren't they? But that was the World Cup that was in Brazil as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So I don't know. The Brazilians don't have much except for football, to be fair. So when their main man,
they got something.
What?
They got MMA. They got Formula One. That guy, what's his name? The fucking driver who died in a big car crash.
Oh God, yeah.
Senna, Ayrton Senna. Who else is a famous Brazilian?
A carnival.
I kind of mean more culturally, like, you know, like the football is their thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like our thing is Shamrocks.
Yeah. No one's ever beaten us 7-1 at Shamrocks.
Very good.
No, will they?
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't have much else to say about the Van Dijk thing other than we could be fucked going forward. But I don't know if you want to get onto Liverpool and just get out of the way.
Well, yeah, I guess it's time, Adrian, that you do accept that Liverpool are wobbling pretty badly.
No, I wouldn't say that.
Well, you have to.
He hasn't accepted it.
Why would you say that?
I'll try again next podcast. But it's just not very convincing. You look very different.
They're top of the league.
Yeah.
They're joint top of the league.
What's that mean these days?
It means that they're doing much better than Chelsea, Arsenal, Man City, Man United.
Yes. Tottenham. Oh, no, I get that. And take them out of the equation because it's it's fantastic that United are 15th in the table. Like, I get that. But are you not more worried watching Liverpool now than you were this time last year?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yes. They're not quite what they were last year because probably Klopp's their most finished. Important because their most important player has been injured. But I like,
and Alisson was injured for a long time. Well, a bit.
2 weeks, 3 weeks, maybe.
Fine.
That's the thing. If anything, it says a lot more that they're doing so well with these injuries. you know? Like, the 7-1 to Villa was fucking bananas. Like, I just throw that in a bin bag and fuck it in the bin, because that just didn't happen as far as I'm concerned. It was just a nonsense game. But, like, looking at the league, I just, like, no one's going to get 90 points this season. It's just not going to happen. But, I mean, there's...
no one's going to get 60 points this season.
I mean, they're about a sixth of the way through the season. Something like that. They're on 13 points. If they continue that, they'll end up with 70, 80 points. That's 13 by 6. We only did our maths up until 12 times. So I don't know what 13 by 6 is. 78? Yeah. So they could end up with about 78 points on current form. So no, I wouldn't be worried.
But that's going off points you accumulated with Van Dijk.
And without him, also.
I mean, but how many? You only played one league game without him, though.
Well, the Everton one counts as a game, pretty much. Okay. Look, I do know what you're saying, and I would be worried about only having one fit centre back, of course. But I just don't see many teams still beating us because.
Sure, I mean, your only competition for the past couple of years, City, look a bit shite as well.
City are 13th. Now, they have a game to play, but they're still 13th.
They look very devoid of creativity or anything. No energy, nothing.
Yeah. Pep is washed. Pep is the most washed of anyone, and how people aren't pointing that out, I've no idea. I don't know why he stayed this season. He may as well have fucked off. I would have fucked off.
This is the longest he's ever been at a club now.
Is it?
Yeah.
Not crazy to think.
I mean, he just has to go balls out to win the Champions League. That's probably what he's doing. Just doesn't give a shit about the league. He's won it enough times. So, yeah, go balls out, win the Champions League, and fuck off.
I guess when you compare Liverpool to the rest of the league too, I mean, there's a lack of consistency, isn't there? I mean, it's a rollercoaster season, ton of goals, and a real lack of form. Maybe that'll work in Liverpool's favour if they are going to miss, their captain.
Yeah, and I think we'll see more freak results, you know? But, I mean, no one thought that Southampton would beat Everton because they were playing so well. And then they hit a banana skin. And that could be the end of Calvert-Lewin now. He might not score again.
Yeah, well, I think that was coming. I think Everton were on, like, you know, limited time and that, you know. I mean, I thought that was a bit of a flash in the pan.
I mean, I knew Calvert-Lewin was a flash in the pan. I mean, maybe people are going to be listening to this in a few months when he's 28 goals in the league or something and being like, what a fucking clown. But I had Calvert-Lewin in my fantasy team and I traded him away to Adrian because I was like, this guy is not a great striker and he's just in a hot run of form. Massively overrated player, I think. People are talking about him like he's Harry Kane. Harry Kane had to do that for like two full seasons before people were like, okay, he's legit, instead of building him up to be the next coming of Christ. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I do agree. I think I took him because he was on form, just to explain myself. I took him because he was on form and Richarlison was doing nothing. And I feel justified because Richarlison is banned now.
Got me a fucking red card. Yeah, brilliant.
Look, Calvert-Lewin, he'll pick up goals, but he's not even a Danny Ings. He's not going to score 20 goals a season. I don't think so anyway. But, you know, he might get 10 to 15. That'll be grand. That's probably where he belongs.
He might get over that this season, but...
Yeah, because he's got about 6 already.
He just reminds me of like Andy Carroll.
Exactly, yeah. But that's very hard to defend against as well, you know?
Is it? I think, you know, people just twig on after a few weeks when he's playing well. They're like, how do we deal with a big fucking target man up front who scores headers? This has been a problem in football since the 1800s when Karl Marx was playing. Like, it's the most basic tactic in the world to figure out, and I think teams will figure it out.
Yeah,
for me, I think he's a classic example of when you have a team in form with some creative players, he is the final guy. He is the output. you know, give it to him and he will do what he needs to do, which is deflect the ball using a part of his body into a wide open net. I don't think there's, you know, the England call up and all that stuff. I mean, like, that's going to be short-lived, I have to say. They're already thinking about recalling Jamie Vardy from retirement for the next tournament because of it. But, like, yeah, there's nothing too special about him. Now, this could backfire when he scores 30 goals this year, but I'm pretty confident.
I'm pretty confident as well. I mean, people always say scoring goals is the hardest thing in football. Compare Calvert-Lewin to Luka Modric or something. Mm. It's not the hardest thing in football to fucking score a header at the far post or something.
He might do it for a season, but he's not going to do it for the next 6 or 7 seasons.
That's it. That's it. Shit player.
Washed.
23 years old. Done.
He had his time in the sun. Back in your box.
Yeah, I mean, I think Everton... Look, Everton might push for a top 6 place. They're not going to fucking win the league, are they?
No, Jesus Christ, yeah. No.
But people were actually saying they're title contenders. And, like, I think 2020 is really going to people's heads. Like, no, Everton do this and have done this for 25 years. They'll be there for a part of the season and then go back to what they are, which is a mid-table overspending team.
Yep. Accurate. I do think Ancelotti's good, though. I mean, he's done well with them.
He's grand.
Did you hear his conspiracy theory that Luka Dinia was sent off as a retaliation for the whole Pickford and Van Dijk thing?
No.
Yeah, he said it in an after post-match interview. Very tinfoil hat.
What a clown.
When we would have spoke with Dave in the last podcast, I think we would have hyped up the importance of the Ole Gunnar Solskjaer versus Frank Lampard battle that we would have seen this weekend, and it turned out to be majorly disappointed, and we didn't really gain much knowledge on who is the better manager. Although we already know it is Frank Lampard. But quite a poor match, right?
Dog shit. Worst game of the season. I mean, this is a season of crazy scores and goals and no defending. Got like a bore 0-0 draw.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. It was a shit game. Nothing really to talk about except for the other VAR incident where Maguire manhandled poor Azpilicueta. Probably should have been a penalty.
Maguire is an anti-footballer.
Yeah, I mean, he's a fucking idiot, really, isn't he? What's the story with him in Greece? Has that been brought back into court yet?
Doubt it, sure. He's playing every week, isn't he?
Yeah, I'm not.
He's not
sure.
Over and back to Athens.
And people saying, "Oh, he should be." That Ollie is giving him the chance to play through this poor run of form. What kind of management is that? Fucking hell! Like, and they take him out of the team, and your man Twenzaby, is it, against PSG has a blinder, and then Harry Maguire is captain and an idiot and a slabhead and a fucking criminal to throw him back in. What's he at?
Yeah.
And then over sure, Ollie hasn't a fucking clue.
He doesn't. So, yeah, you're right. We didn't learn anything about the two managers from it other than Ollie is marginally more shite than Lampard.
Has Ollie ever won a game where he didn't get a penalty?
That would be an interesting thing to find out because there's so many.
Did they get a penalty against Newcastle there last week?
Yeah. They missed it, though,
yeah.
Didn't they?
Yeah.
Well, they still, yeah.
Still they still think. Same thing, I guess. I can't remember who put it into the group chat, but there was that video of the guy doing the impressions of the managers. And when it came to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, he was like all depressed and unsure and just really annoying to listen to. And I thought, oh, that's funny. He's got the accent spot on. Then I saw his pre-match interview before the Chelsea game, and all my days, he is such a negative, unconfident manager. Everything is like, oh, well, yeah, I guess. It's like, oh, my God, how can you get behind him?
Yeah, I know. Would you follow him into hell, like through the fucking gates of hell, Ole Solskjaer?
No,
come on, boys.
I would with I would with Frank Lampard.
On that grounds, who would you rather go into the gates of hell with? I'd probably prefer Frank.
Yeah.
But even their reputation as players is polar opposite. I don't know. I remember when Solskjaer first joined, there was one of the first videos of training came out and he was shouting at someone being like, "You're 20 yards out, fucking shoot." And people were like, "Yes, this is brilliant. Like, this is the guy we want." And since then, he's just turned into this like pathetic Gollum type character. Whereas Lampard, at least, like, fucking hell, like, that guy was a beast of a player. Solskjaer was like Chicharito. Like, if Chicharito was my manager, I wouldn't give a shit either. Like, I'm not going to be afraid of him. Yeah. He's a little bitch. Whereas Lampard, at least, like, drove that Chelsea team for like fucking 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one tap in the Champions League final, and he's a fucking legend. Like, that's like Origi in 10 years' time being the Liverpool manager. That's what that is. Like, please God, let that never happen.
Maybe it will.
Well, I pray that it won't.
Fucking Origi at least is like 7 feet tall. You'd be a bit afraid of him.
Mate, well, I don't know. I don't know. I just think Lampard is certainly more of a commanding figure.
Yeah,
my point.
He just needs
plays better football as well.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Even though, he doesn't get very good results, but they play better football. I'd rather watch Chelsea play 10 games than watch United play one game.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I don't play. I don't watch football to see penalties, 100%. And I just think, you know, we were saying a few weeks back that the players he bought in are going to get used to the system and all that. I mean, look at Thiago Silva. He had an absolute shambles against West Brom. Since then, he's kept two clean sheets. And Chilwell is doing well. Oh, yeah. And the rest also look better.
But it's true. So. Like, that keeper was a great signing. The games he's played in, clean sheets galore. Clean sheet against Sevilla, they weren't great. They weren't great games. Galore is two this season, though. Yeah. Right?
He's enough for a bed there.
Yeah. But yeah, they look like all the sliding he gets.
Edward, the chambermaid, Mendy.
Yeah, I think they're coming good, and I think we'll see them get much better results. United.
I don't know. Will they get better results? Because I don't think their defense is much better, really. But they still look quite shambolic to my eyes. But who knows?
Clean sheets galore, Flynn. Clean sheets galore. From one disappointing game to another, I had real high hopes for this one, Flynn. I'm sure you have some opinions on it. Arsenal Leicester was the late kickoff yesterday on Sunday night. Poor enough game. Mm-hmm.
Well, a bit of a sickener, to be honest. I had it on mute. I was watching it while I was playing Among Us with Adrian and other people. So I was just looking over every so often in the second half. But what I was focusing on when I was watching the game was David Luiz was our main creative force. And I don't think people were going mad afterwards. They were like, "You're relying on fucking David Luiz to create any momentum going forward." Like, everything came from Luiz in that game. I didn't think it was that bad because Leicester were doing nothing. I'm so sickened we lost this game after that first half because Leicester did nothing. They did not a peep. And Arsenal, their biggest problem under Arteta is creating chances. And this was the only game really where they were creating a bunch of chances. They just did nothing with them. Like, at least they got it into the box and in their lines. Like, and a goal was ruled out for VAR, but they were defending in like a big block, Leicester. So David Luiz was free to just pop it over to Tierney or pop it over to Bellerin, and they crossed it in. And afterwards, people were going mental because it was like, what a repetitive, useless tactic that got them nowhere. But it was getting them somewhere. Like, I mean, 9 times out of 10, they get a goal out of that. They did get a goal out of it, which should have stood. And you're playing against this team that defends 10 men behind the ball, 11 men behind the ball, actually, because Vardy wasn't even on at that stage.
Yep.
And then when Vardy came on, it was like, oh, grand, now we'll just lump it up to him and he'll score, which he did. Fine, that's what Vardy does. But people are already kind of turning on Arteta a little bit this season because the quality of football has been quite low. And I thought that as well. By the way, I was saying this months ago. I was like, I'm not fully convinced on Arteta. So don't, if Arteta gets fired this season, don't say, ah, Flynn, you thought he was the man for the job and you were so wrong. You got it so wrong. You're an idiot. I'm like, no, I never thought that. I'm still, the jury is still out on him.
Yeah, but, you've always said that, to be fair. I do want to acknowledge Brendan Rodgers, though, in this, because I actually think the one thing we've been saying about Arsenal is they're hard to beat. So I think he made that decision to sit back for an hour or 70 minutes, and then he knew Vardy probably wasn't fit enough for a full game, so he said, we'll sit back, we'll let them punt it into the box for an hour, and then we'll bring on Vardy and hope for a counterattack. And it worked perfectly. So I do agree that it's frustrating from an Arsenal point of view that you just couldn't break them down, but that's what they went out to do. Just sit back, bring on Vardy, you know, surprise him with a counterattack, and then it's, you know, hold out for the win. So I do think it was a, I don't want to say a Rodgers masterclass, but I think he got it right.
Yeah. You got it right, but I mean, that was the only thing they could do realistically because they didn't have Vardy. I mean, what else were they supposed to do? Because they probably weren't going to win a passing battle. Well, maybe they could, to be honest. Arsenal's midfield is not, you know, Iniesta and Xavi at the moment.
Yeah.
Not even like, not even Ramsey in a wheelchair at the moment, but no. God be with the days when Arsenal used pass freely and flowing football, creative attacking midfielders.
What about,
we still have a creative attacking midfielder, but he's not even in the Premier League squad.
What about your man Partey? Was he any good?
Well, I mean, his job is to just kind of get the ball, recycle possession. I mean, what I was watching, he was playing quite well. He played quite well in midweek. Had good. He's not like ever going to be Modric or Zidane, but
yeah,
he's doing his job, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe we should have bought Aouar instead of Partey, though.
Yeah, I thought that was nearly a done deal, to be honest. But
I think it was, and it's a bit odd that he was apparently, the price for him was less than Partey. So something must have happened there. Because it wasn't money, obviously, because they had the money enough for Partey, who was more expensive.
Mm.
He's got one of the strangest names, Aouar.
I know.
Aouar.
Fucking vowels. It's
fucking like four vowels in a row. Like.
Top of the vowel league.
Yeah.
It was really a game of two halves, though. I agree with both of your points, actually, is that Arsenal came out strong that first half. They had like 11 chances.
Yeah.
And then in the second half, they had one. That's night and day. Very disappointing.
I know, but Louise went off and like she was the one doing anything.
Yeah. The playmaker, David Luiz. But
to be fair, David Luiz is a playmaker. That is, yeah. He's not a good defender, but that's what people were giving out about Luiz creating stuff. That's all he can do. That's what he's spent his career on.
It's true though, and that's kind of what a lot of teams, good teams, have as their centre-backs. I know it's an obvious one, but Van Dijk is the exact same. I mean, the ball goes to Van Dijk a lot when he is playing. So the fact that, you know, the centre-back begins a lot of plays isn't unusual, and he is capable of playing the ball around. But yeah, completely night and day. And I don't know if it was a masterclass by Brendan Rodgers. I feel that he realised after 10, 15 minutes of the second half that Arsenal just weren't at the races, and then decided, you know what, we're going to start pinging balls over the top. And it did work. And they do have a pacey team. But big 3 points dropped and lost for Arsenal.
Yeah, sickening. Because up to this point, they had only lost away to Liverpool and away to City, which are whatever. You're probably going to lose those games in a season anyway, more or less. Those are probably the two hardest fixtures in the whole season. So I wasn't too broken up about them. And they didn't look. They looked. They, they just looked ordinary against City and Liverpool, but I wasn't panicking.
Yeah.
And like people, I'm saying like people were giving Arteta guff about this game. They say that he got it all wrong. I think he got it fine. And I've like, I criticize him when he wins. And now when he's lost badly, I'm making excuses for him. So
you're a classic Arsenal fan, fine. Really.
Yeah. The duality of man.
What do we think of Leeds, lads? We've got a few games out of them now, six games. They've looked pretty good. You know, what do we reckon? Is this going to, are you going to sustain this, or is it going to settle back to bottom half?
I think they might sustain it. Yeah, their counter-attacking is unreal. Like in that that whole game, they, as soon as the ball starts going forward, like five Leeds players sprinting up the field. And then when the ball comes back, they sprint down the other end. A bit suspicious how they're able to run so hard and so long. But, you know.
Peds.
Not as suspicious as fucking Bayern. Have you seen, like, the cut of some of these Bayern players going from, like, weedy little Peter Parkers to Spider-Man overnight?
Yeah. And Lewandowski being able to, no matter his age, score four goals a game. I find that very sus.
Yeah. I do think Leeds, I think everyone kind of likes them, but I mean, they have a squad that should have been in the Premier League for the last three seasons, really. Your man Bamford's still doing it. Look, they're fifth at the minute. They're not going to finish fifth, but I don't think they'll do a Norwich and drop off a cliff and, you know, get relegated or anything. But I think they'll be in the Premier League next season. I mean, if they got a top half finish, that would be amazing for them.
I mean, like Fulham look destined to go down. They just look abysmal.
Yeah.
West Brom look pretty terrible as well. And I think Newcastle look dreadful.
Interesting.
Those would be the ones I'd say probably go down. It's amazing West Ham look good this year for the first time ever. Like normally I'd be like West Ham.
Yeah.
Every season they start so poorly. This season they played well.
Well, pre-season, West Ham were my pick to go down, or my surprise pick to go down. Hanley, you had Sheffield United. It looks as if you were correct thus far.
Yeah. Second season syndrome.
Mm.
They're in 19th at the minute with a point. So that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
I don't know about Newcastle. I think Newcastle are doing... I mean, Newcastle aren't consistent, but at least they fucking score a bit. You know?
They're such jammy goals. Like they don't deserve to score in most games. They look so bad.
Yeah, I mean, at the minute, I would say stick with what I was saying. West Brom, Sheffield United, and Fulham. I think those are three dog shit teams.
I think it was interesting before the Palace game. Scott Parker was saying that he feels Fulham have turned a corner this season after their point against joint bottom Sheffield United. They're so dire. Like, they have the makings of a good team. They've got some great players. I quite like a few of their players. And I think Mitrovic, despite his many, many flaws, is a guy that can get 10 to 15 goals in a season because he has an eye for goal. But
15 goals, I don't think so.
10 to 15 goals, I think, is fair. I can see him bag 12 goals.
When did Mitrovic ever score 12 goals in a league in his life?
I know, but like you could say that about many players, you know?
Oh, yeah, you could say that about many players, but then you don't say those players could score 10 to 15 goals.
Yeah, Kieran, you're waffling, no way.
Well, look, I'm gonna Google him. Let me see.
I think he's a typical striker for relegation battling Fulham, that he'll get his head on the end of a cross in the odd game. Yeah. So he might score maybe 10 goals, maybe.
Okay, no, he got 11 goals in the Premier League in 2018, 2019.
Yeah, and he scored two already this year. You know.
Okay. I don't count the Championship either, by the way.
It doesn't exist. I mean, look, I do accept your point, but honestly, the rest of the team, I couldn't even... I don't know, could I name one other Fulham player? If I'm honest, like... let me...
Seri's not even in the squad. Remember him? Jean-Michel Seri?
I was thinking of him, but yeah, he's gone or he's not playing.
They have Ruben Loftus-Cheek. They've got Lookman, they're both on loan.
Mm.
They had Sessegnon, but he's gone.
Yeah, it doesn't look good for him, to be honest.
No, hang on, let me just see. Fulham squad. Yeah, Mitrovic is the first one that comes up. Areola? Is that a fucking name? That's the thing on your nipple, isn't it?
It is, yeah, I know.
Oh my.
What about the Anguissa? Didn't he cost like 25 million or something?
Anguissa? I don't even know.
Yeah.
I don't know who that is.
Exactly. Sure, this fella, they bought him like 2 years ago for like 25 million or something. No one even heard of him.
Do they have that guy Lamina? Was he not at Bournemouth?
Oh shit, was.
You know what's scary as well is that, like, Mitrovic looks like a used ashtray after a house party, and he's like 3 years younger than us.
Stop. Yeah. Is he? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's 26 or something. Like, it's so scary.
It's a disaster. I thought he was like 33. Shit.
Yeah.
He's got, what was that fella from Blackpool and Liverpool?
Charlie Adam.
Charlie Adam. Fucking hell, at like 23 he just looked like a plumber, like a 50-year-old plumber.
Yeah. What did I say before?
Oh, like about life hitting someone hard. I can't remember what you said, the phrase you used, but yeah, it was brilliant,
something like that.
And it applies to Mitrovic.
Mitrovic and Charlie Adam. There was a guy for Sheffield actually the other day when I was watching it, some bald lad, he's like fucking 22 and he looks about 40. I think baldness really affects people.
It does.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It adds years for sure. Kids too. I can tell you that. yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about bald kids, not having kids.
Baldness really affects those kids.
I mean, it does,
makes them look older. That's your excuse.
Oh Jesus, that's Ollie's excuse. Ollie Gunnar Solskjaer's excuse.
Not your son Ollie.
Yeah, I keep having to, when I keep saying, oh, Ollie's a shit. Ollie's a fiddler, I keep having to think that, remember it's not my son.
That's Jesus, like Christ. Every time Adrian has a bad game for Liverpool, like all the comments are like, Adrian's a piece of shit, or Adrian's a fucking cunt, and I'm like, oh. It does hit you somewhere in your subconscious.
Yeah, it's there. Well, look, we've covered the bottom half of the table now, so that's us good for another 6 months. We don't have to talk about Fulham ever again.
Great, that's the whole table covered.
Perfect. Yes, fantastic. A great pod as well, lads.
Yeah. Considering it's remote for the next maybe two podcasts.
Mm. Yeah, for the foreseeable. Yeah, so if there are any audio discrepancies between our podcasts, it is because we are back remote recording. It has its challenges, but I think we did well today.
Yeah,
good way. Me in particular.
Yeah.
I think Flynn was outstanding with his headset.
Crystal clear.
Thank you.
Oh, yes. Any final thoughts before we wrap things up, gentlemen?
Ole is a fucking shambles.
I've got two fish and one of them keeps chasing the other. So if anyone knows why that is, let me know.
Did the other one steal its wallet or something?
Well, the big fish keeps chasing the little fish. And it just looks like she's bullying him. We're assuming the genders, but looks like she's bullying him, to be honest. And it's kind of sad. But, you know, survival of the fittest, I guess.
Your man doesn't have many places to go.
No.
He can't even sleep.
He's run ragged.
That's it. And it's, well,
you might as well put him in a fucking cup or something, like.
Oh, no. Did you not see the new tank?
I did, yeah, but sure.
It's massive.
Yeah.
It's 10 liters of water per fish is what's recommended. And it's a 20-liter tank. So they're grand.
Christ, you got it all covered.
Yeah. Anyway, that's my parting thoughts.
Well, great. I mean, if anyone has any feedback for Adrian and his fish, or what might be causing this distressing time for, I'm guessing, Sadio?
Oh, Sadio's dead. Bobby? Sadio's dead.
Sadio's dead. Sorry. Rest in peace.
I threw him out the back window. No, so it's Linda and Rainbow Bobby, and Linda's bullying Rainbow Bobby, so...
Okay. Jesus. Well, look, if we've got any goldfish experts out there in the YouTube world, be free to get in, feel free to get in touch, and you know.
How many fish is that you've been through? So,
3 in total, and 1 died.
I'm getting a bit suspicious.
Rainbow yeah. Bobby
Adrian, the Adrian thing, yeah. Sus. I saw Rainbow Bobby use a vent.
Isn't that like the sign of a serial killer too, right? When they start killing animals first.
Yeah, oh, it is, yeah. But I didn't kill the fish. The fish died. I didn't do anything to it.
That sounds suspicious. Fucking
died on your watch.
Yeah. Do you sleep at night?
Yeah, I do, yeah. Every night.
Soundly.
Sleep with the fishes.
Let's wrap this up.
He's up at night sweating. Oh no, those fish. I should have done more. Like fucking Schindler's List at the end. I should have done more. I could have saved more.
Well, I'm not going to explain this all over the recording, so you can cut this out. No. But we bought these two fish in some dingy, skanky fucking pet store in Cork. And your man was like, oh yeah, just change the water once a week. They're grand. And it was literally in a fish bowl, like a typical fish bowl. But we went, once the fish... one fish died, we went to a bigger fish shop that were like, yeah, we don't sell fish bowls because they don't work. Fish just die because it becomes toxic. You need a filter. Otherwise, you have to change the water every 2 days. So now we have one with a filter and they're happy out. But that's why it was that dingy fucking pet shop that I won't name. But you all know which one I'm talking about.
Well, you should name them if you think they're doing something wrong.
I'll tag them.
Look, they're only trying to make a living. I understand.
Drug dealers.
They're killing fish.
They're only trying to make a living. They're trying to make a killing.
Well, he's not a drug dealer. He's a fish shop seller.
He's killing fish, boy.
My words aren't coming out right now. Anyway, so we have two happy fish, except for one is just beating the shit out of the other one.
Maybe one happy fish.
Maybe they're playing. Like, maybe it's normal. I don't know. But, like, it's one of those black-finned ones. You know, the black one and the big goldfish one is chasing him. So maybe it's a racial thing. I don't really know.
It's a social problem.
Yeah.
Next time we come back on this podcast, I bet the other fish will be dead.
Okay, I'll bet against that. Yeah. I'm not going to bet anything, but I bet you.
Fine.
Okay. See you in 2 weeks time.
Now everyone has to tune in.
Yeah. God, if he is dead, I'm not recording. So if there's no podcast in 2 weeks, it's because my fish.
Sure, how would I know? You could just replace him with any old fucking fish. Like, you wouldn't even have to replace him.
Fish stores aren't open in the quarantine, are they?
I should go out to a pond or something.
They're essential.
Oh.
Do you know, I'm trying to think of like a segue, right? This is going to be terrible, but I was going to say the people, you know, if you like what you've listened to, you can tune that in for the next podcast. No.
And the next fish cast.
The next fish cast. It beats the nonce cast anyway. We didn't even speak about the pay-per-view, but maybe we'll save that for another day. It's falling on its ass, so that's okay.
Yeah, it might not even be around in a couple of weeks.
Hopefully not. Okay, I'll wrap things up. Thank you very much for listening to the 20th Put Them Under Pressure podcast. We'll be back in a fortnight remotely again. Hopefully Flynn will join us. It's been great having you on. Thanks everyone for listening.
All right, good luck.
That was good. I enjoyed that.
It was nice.
Something to do on a Monday night.
You've been listening to the Put Them Under Pressure podcast. To keep up to date with all of our content, give us a follow on Spotify, YouTube, and Facebook. Outro music. Boom.
That was good.
That was good, yeah?
Yeah.
That was
good.
You prepare and we go and we do our best. We put them under pressure.